Earlier this week, the federal government announced relaxed laws around working holiday visas to meet a labour shortage during harvest season on Australian farms. Many have welcomed the move, including the National Farmers Federation, who say the changes are a huge step forward. But policy experts are saying these new laws could disadvantage Pacific Islanders doing the same work under the seasonal worker program. Matthew Dornan is a development economist and deputy director of the ANU's Development Policy Centre and joins us now. Welcome.
Thanks for having me on the program.
So how exactly would Pacific Islanders be disadvantaged under this new regime?
So there are two groups of foreign citizens that, dominate labour in the horticulture industry. One are Pacific Islanders who come to Australia under the seasonal worker program. The second group, which is a much bigger group, are backpackers. So they come to Australia under the work and holiday maker visa, and they're actually provided with an incentive to pick fruit on farms in Australia in the way of an extension of their visa if they do so. So those are the two groups that have picked fruit on Australia in farms for over a decade now. To some extent, they're substitutes for one another. So if you relax visa conditions for backpackers, that affects the demand for labour from the Pacific. So the changes that were announced earlier in the week, they extend the period that a backpacker can be in Australia to 3 years. They also allow backpackers to work for an employer for 12 months in any given year. It's almost like the agricultural visa that the National Farmers Federation had campaigned for. But through the back door. So, backpackers come from a whole range of countries. They include countries like Indonesia, China, Vietnam. Citizens of those countries obviously have economic incentives to come to Australia. So I think what we're going to see as a result of these changes is a shift in demand from farmers. They'll be hiring people under this backpacker scheme as opposed to Pacific Islanders under the seasonal worker program. The main reason for that is that the red tape around the backpacker scheme is much less intense than for the seasonal worker program.
It's interesting you say this is kind of the agriculture visa via a back door, because that's very different to what the NFF, the National Farmers Federation, said to me, which is, they're happy about this, but it's a far cry from what they really wanted, and they're actually still campaigning for what they really want. So, you're kind of out of step with that line, aren't you?
Yeah, they campaigned for the agricultural visa. The National Party effectively flagged that the agricultural visa was about to be announced. Now, in response, as we were just hearing from Stephen, Australia is engaged in this step up with the Pacific. A very important component of that involves labour mobility from the Pacific. So these are small countries, very few economic opportunities for workers in those countries. So being able to work in a country like Australia is an enormous thing for workers there. So their governments have been pushing for access to Australian labour markets for low-skilled and semi-skilled individuals for some time. They pushed back against this agricultural visa. So this was something that was imminently about to be announced, and suddenly you had Pacific Island leaders lobbying the Australian Foreign Minister saying, that this isn't on. And so the government stepped back and actually reversed that decision. Now, not long after, they've basically done the same thing, but through amending the backpacker scheme instead.
You've published a paper which compares Australia's seasonal workers program to New Zealand's. What are the differences between the two? And, in your view, which one is superior?
I think it's without question the New Zealand program has been more successful. So the New Zealand program...
And I've just got to interrupt. How do you measure success?
Sure. So I would measure success by the number of Pacific Islanders who come and engage in work by which they increase their incomes, and that leads to development benefits. And those development benefits are well known. They've been studied quite extensively by the World Bank, also by academic colleagues at the ANU. The New Zealand scheme was established a little before the Australian scheme, and employer groups were very much involved in its establishment. They were great supporters of the scheme, and it increased in the number of Pacific Islanders going to New Zealand to pick fruit increased very rapidly. The Australian scheme, in contrast, There were shortages in horticulture, and groups like the National Farmers Federation were calling for schemes to address this. The Howard government refused to establish a scheme, and instead it adjusted the backpacker visa, providing that 1 year extension to backpackers that worked on a farm. It was only later under the Rudd government that the seasonal worker program was established in Australia, and already that labour shortage had somewhat been addressed by the influx of backpackers onto farms. So what you saw was a very slow uptake of the seasonal worker program. It's currently sitting at about 8,000 Pacific Islanders who come to Australia each year. Now, Australia's a much bigger country than New Zealand, of course. In New Zealand, it's capped at about 13,000 now.
And just finally, do you think this announcement is likely to hurt our relationship with Pacific Islands? Because if you look at the announcements, the other announcements, unrelated, but by the Prime Minister today, they're trying to do the opposite. They're trying to repair relations.
Yeah, and I think this is always the issue with Australian policy towards the Pacific. It's one step forward, two steps backwards. After the saga with the announcement of the agricultural visa, the Prime Minister said that he would be giving Pacific Islanders priority for seasonal work in Australia, and that he wouldn't be expanding non-Pacific sources of labour. Now he's gone ahead and made these changes, which is going to do just that. We're going to see an expansion of workers from Southeast Asia and a decline in the number of Pacific Islanders working on farms. And really, it's not a level playing field. You know, if you're a farmer or an employer in a rural area, there are almost no costs associated with hiring a backpacker. You have no responsibility for the welfare of that worker beyond what you would have with a normal, you know, an Australian worker. Contrast that with the seasonal worker program, which brings in the Pacific Islanders. For farmers that employ Pacific Islanders through that program, you know, they have to front up with some of the upfront costs associated with airfares to get that worker to Australia. They have to get approved employer status, which is a lengthy process. You know, the government departments have made it quite a lengthy process. They have to show to get that approved employer status that they have appropriate accommodation for workers, that they have pastoral care services, you know, things like church services available to workers. There's a whole series of hurdles for farmers that want to employ Pacific Islanders. So it's not a level playing field. And in making these changes that we'll see the expansion of the backpacker scheme, I think we're going to see the future needs of labour in the horticultural sector and in agriculture more broadly met by those backpackers rather than by Pacific Islanders.
Matthew, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
Matthew Dornan is the Deputy Director of the ANU's Development Policy Centre, and this is RN Drive.